welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 651. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Let's announce the new leading candidate for Speaker of the House, a picture of Barack Obama in a circle with a line through it, because it's the only thing the Republicans could agree on.
It's true. yeah, that shit's nonsense. Whole thing.
I mean, Jordan's out, Scalise's out. Who's left? Who has supported more than like three people for House now? Doesn't make sense anymore.
I don't like and just like the whole thing is crazy. Like Jordan couldn't even muster half. Scalise at least got half. And then but he couldn't get enough. Enough support to actually bring it to the floor. So he's like, you know what? I'm out.
I'm not doing it. I give up.
Which is honestly what McCarthy should have done, like, what, earlier this year. So
right. Because this was inevitable. This would have happened eventually. At some point, they'd be like, you know what? We're sick of you. But it amazes me how this has never happened before. Like, you'd think that at some point in our history, like some small subset of one of the parties would have held the rest of them hostage, knowing that they had no way of electing a speaker without all of them.
Right.
But it's never happened before. And like the Democrats always have somehow keep everyone in line no matter what. Like it's absurd. This isn't the norm, but it's sad, and I hope it doesn't become the norm. It's really stupid.
Yeah, like, I mean, the fact that, what was it, 8 Republicans were even able to vote McCarthy out. Like,
yeah.
It well, just took guy, 8 people to be like, ah, fuck you.
Some guy in the House today was complaining that the speaker race was taking away from the everything that's going on in Israel right now. Like, yeah. But
whose fault is that?
Right. But somehow they were able to hold a hearing on crime in D.C. today. I'm really not sure how that works.
Oh, wow.
Never miss a chance to brand a group of Democrats as criminals, even while you're unable to properly lead America. Good work, everyone. Good work. Gold star.
Yeah, absolutely insane. We got here. Okay, so got a little bit of news in our show feed. We could actually message Walt, see if he wants to jump on, because it is just Tony and I right now. Earl is he is moving all of Brooklyn.
That's right. Himself, he's very strong. I didn't realize Earl was that strong. I knew he was very tall, but strength is surprising.
Yes, he's very tall and very strong. So he's handling all of Brooklyn by himself, moving it. We're not sure where Jeff is. Like he said, he might be here.
Actually, you know, speaking of people who are missing, a person I used to work with has gone missing. Like I visited a conference this past week, and we got a message while we were out there that this person is like critically missing and hasn't been seen since Friday of last week.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. It's freaky.
Like it's somebody you used to work with or somebody.
So she left my company 2 years ago. And like, we're all sitting there and this meeting is run by the group that she used to be in. So it's like all of these people, and I knew her too, who are all like really close with her, who like a bunch of us had been like messaging with her over like the past several weeks, and then she's just gone.
That's scary. Hopefully she turns up. And
I keep Googling her. I'm like, is she around? Has she been found? But not yet.
That is scary when stuff like that happens. I do hope they find her.
Me too. And I hope it's good news.
Yeah. I guess in good news for Microsoft. That's a terrible transition off of somebody. Yeah,
Microsoft was kidnapped.
This person I know was missing. Well, that's bad news, but
You know what we should transition to is, speaking of people disappearing, John Riccitiello.
oh yes, that is actually that's a better transition than good news for Microsoft. Yeah, John Riccitiello is disappearing from Unity. He retired effective immediately this past week.
I think Kotaku had the headline, "The most hated CEO in gaming is gone again."
Yeah, I mean, he, if we remember, so it was back at the beginning of the 360 era. That was when he was at EA. Not sure if all of our listeners remember, but he was at EA. He oversaw that time period of when you bought a used game if you wanted to play online, you had to spend 10 extra dollars to it was like the online pass or whatever it was. That was his idea,
One
because
of the
he,
worst ideas ever.
yeah,
No one copied that. It's gone
most,
now. It
yeah.
didn't.
Well, Sony copied it briefly, but yes, it did not last very long. Nor did Riccitiello, for that matter. And he oversaw Unity, all the debacle with Unity that we talked about a couple weeks ago. Again, like people are like, "Oh, good, like the bad man is gone." It's like the bad man was put in place by other people that
Right.
wanted him to execute
Who
this. Just
agree with what he was trying to do,
yes,
and he is the scapegoat.
yeah,
So
and he's gonna like. I am sure. I don't know if they released like what his parachute package is, but
yeah, he'll be fine.
yeah, he is not like he did not lose out on this. He is walking away with a ton of money. And yeah, he is the one that publicly will take the blame, but Unity is not a better company just because he's gone now. Unity wanted that shit in place, and
Yes.
they'll find a way to get it in place. They'll just do it maybe a little more savvy. Something Riccitiello is clearly not.
Right. That was kind of it. Like, it was just a sledgehammer type implementation over something that could have subtly been implemented over a couple of years.
Yeah.
Instead, it's like, oh, today we're changing all our terms of service. Congratulations, everyone.
Yeah, it made zero sense. I did see some indie developers were like, "Yeah, this is good." Like, I mean, maybe, and as long as you're staying on the old version, you'll be fine. But
Yeah.
I mean, it's still going to cost you some money. They didn't really walk back everything. They just made it sound a little nicer. And yeah, Riccitiello is gone now, so Unity can be like, "Yeah, look, we're not the bad guys anymore."
Right. Well, they come up with a different way of implementing. Like, they're just trying to make more money. They're going to come up with something else, something to the side. Like, it's not going to be the same.
Right. And that's part of the problem with these public companies. All the shareholders are, they demand constant growth. They want you to keep
Yes.
building. Like, I paid $100 for it. I want you to make that $100 into a ton more every year. And constant growth is really hard.
It
It
is.
is, it is not, it's not really a sustainable thing. So,
It eventually ruins everything. It's why Google is so hard to use now, or why, like, you go on Amazon and you try to find something and now you can't.
yeah.
It's like, eventually they keep like trying to find so many avenues to make money that like you allow advertisements to take up all of your search results, to push that stuff to the front. Just so you can make a little bit more cash, even if you're not making that much more on those results. But now the people who are actually trying to use your product can't find what they're looking for. And eventually those people will move to another product and you'll fail. And it's like the constant cycle of these companies, like trying to push every button to get everything. And inevitably they fail.
Yeah. So yeah, good luck in retirement, John Riccitiello.
Good luck sitting in your on your giant pile of money in your little Scrooge McDuck money pool, swimming around.
From one, now I guess Unity's not a mega corporation, but from one to an actual mega corporation, the Microsoft Activision deal should close possibly tomorrow, if not early next week. The CMA gave their thumbs up on the deal early in the week. Microsoft was kind of letting the EU review the terms of the new deal that they made with the UK, which involved Ubisoft kind of taking over cloud gaming over there for them. So it's so convoluted. yeah, so that should wrap up. Activision did come out and say that, you know, if and when the merger finally closes, they don't expect games like Diablo 4 or Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 to show up on Game Pass instantly, but sometime next year you'll start seeing their games on the Game Pass service, which makes sense.
Yeah. I'd assume it'd be like the older ones. Like, these other games are still making so much in terms of sales.
Yeah.
That they'd be dumb to, like, whatever the next Modern Warfare is called, to really make that like a day one Game Pass game would be kind of silly. I feel like that would be Microsoft just handing money, like giving money away.
Yeah, and they've already kind of stated that they're releasing whatever Call of Duty is on everything.
Yeah,
for like the next 10 years anyway. So
yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if Diablo 4 ends up on there early next year. Yeah.
Well, the player base for that game has dropped off really quick.
Yeah, like a lot. And I know Steam, like Steam charts and that stuff isn't, and it's not on Steam, I don't think, but it's like those types of tracking services aren't the best. They're anecdotal. Like,
yeah,
you need people to kind of sign into them, but it seems like there was one YouTube kind of reporter that I was watching, and he said they were down 90% from launch, which was the biggest launch ever for the franchise. But 90% of that is, like, I'm sure it's still a lot of players, but it's a steep drop off.
That's quite a bit.
And it's a game, like, I don't think you finished it yet. I've not finished it. I fell off of it pretty quickly.
Yeah, I did too. And, like, it really just, there was no, like, the gameplay loop isn't that interesting. It's very samey. The world that they build is not that interesting. It's not really well fleshed out, and, like, there's not a whole lot, like, to go out and experience that's enjoyable. And then, like, if you're into, like, the loot loop, that's great, except that's largely been broken and they keep reworking it, and I don't really get a whole lot out. Like, I know some people do get out of, like, the, you know, finding the best loot and,
yeah, I mean, Jeff loves that aspect.
There are people who love that stuff. I don't really get into it. So, like, I got bored pretty quick. I've already deleted it off my hard drive. I'm like, I could, like, try to finish it, but I really don't care.
I still have it on my hard drive, but I've resorted to basically playing it on, like, Sundays when football's on.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, you don't really have to pay attention to what's going on in that game.
Nope.
It's a lot of, like, I mean, some of the combat, you might have to do a couple button combinations, but it's not like in depth. There's a lot of dialogue. I've stopped paying attention to any of the story. I mean, I think it looks nice, and I was really big on it when it first came out. Like, I thought that first act is really good.
Yeah.
But then the second act is the same.
Yeah, everything I played from the, did they call it a demo? Whatever that weekend was where you got to play. Like, all that stuff, replaying through it again was fine. Like, it was very entertaining and very nice. Everything after that just seems kind of bland.
Yeah, I fully agree. I know we're gonna talk more about this probably in early January, where Jeff makes his pitch for his game of the year.
And he's like, why isn't it on any of your lists? He's going to be really confused.
Yeah, if it makes my top 10, it will be like at the tail end of it.
Yeah. I mean, it was, so I keep a running top 10. And it was in there, but like as more stuff came out, it got punched out like a week, a month ago. Like, there's just been too many other games that I've actually, you know, have actually brought me joy. And I think that's like kind of my experience with it. Like, it just, like, I was just kind of sitting there doing stuff and it wasn't fun, which kind of was like like, where's the fun? Like, let me be amused. And there was nothing that was amusing, or like there were no funny jokes, and there's no like story that's like, ooh, that's cool. Like, there's nothing like that in that game.
Yeah, I mean, that first 10 hours that with the demo portion or beta portion was all neat. Like, I think there was some nice writing in there.
Yeah,
there were cool side quests.
Yep.
And then it just drops off a bit. And much like you, like, it's still on my top 10 today. Yeah. It's currently slotted at number 9, but there are games I have not played.
You're like Assassin's Creed, Forza, Spider-Man, like...
Yeah, exactly. Like, Forza will make my top 10 at this point. I haven't played Assassin's Creed yet. Mario, still haven't played. Yeah, Mario. Spider-Man's out there. Yeah, it's like the Alan Wake 2. Like, the chances are that it holds on to that top 10 slot. It's going to be very, very slim. Which is a shame for, I mean, I know Jeff really loved it, and he played it differently than we did, too.
Yes. He really focused on like the co-op and like getting into it with other people.
Yeah,
but like I don't have
with his buddy and his wife, and
I don't have the people I sit down and play with for hours and hours like that, and I really don't have the time to like dedicate like that.
Yeah, like we I think we sit here every week. We should play this game, and then like maybe once every 2 months.
Yeah,
we'll actually sit down and play a game.
Occasionally, we'll find one where it works out, and we're like, we actually commit. But it's been a while, right?
Well, it's like it has to be like this weird recipe for us, right? Like, not only do we have to find the time amongst like the four or five of us to play, the game has to be legitimately good too for us to go back to.
Yeah.
So we all sat down and played Redfall, but then it was like, you guys were like, no. And it's weird because, like, I think the last game we may have all played through was Zombie Army 4, which was a while ago. But you hear that and like, that's not a great game, but it's not, but it's like a really fun co-op game.
Right.
To play together
and it has enough of like the elements that we all enjoy.
Yeah,
that we're all having a good time. It just like maybe it's a 75, but it's a 75 for all of us.
Yeah, exactly. Like, right, like it has, you know, it has the you know, weird horror aesthetic I like. It has like some upgrade mechanics that you guys like. The shooting is actually legitimately okay. Like that, there's like neat co-op elements between it, and then something like Diablo. Like, I don't know. I'm sure we would have enjoyed playing it together. It's just, I don't know, that game just feels such like a solitary experience anyway. Yeah. That adding other people into it makes it weird.
Right.
I'm glad Jeff enjoyed it. He can certainly make his pitch for it. we'll see where that ends up.
We'll listen respectfully, or not. We'll listen at least.
Yeah, I'm not like, look. And it's similar to with Elden Ring, although we both tried Elden Ring. You know, Jeff's like, you didn't try enough of it. Like, I don't, like, I played 10 hours of that game, man. I don't know how much more you want me to play.
Like, I went into it knowing, like, I hate this style of game. I don't want to be here. I literally, like, I bought that game for Jeff. I'm like, I'm going to try it. I don't want to, but I'm going to do this to myself. And I made it like maybe an hour. Like I maybe put an hour into that game, and I'm like, no, it's not happening. This is.
And there was reason to think that, like, even though, like, the people that were praising it, Walt, Sean, Jeff, they all love Souls games.
Yeah.
But there was reason to think, like, oh, maybe this is the one that's going to catch, because it was open world. And no, it's very much still just a Souls game.
Yeah. And it's happened to me with other games, like some, like, Forza Horizon. Like, I'm not a racing game person, but that, like, kind of puts everything together properly in a way where I'm like, wow, this is really good. And, like, not a genre I ever play at all, but, like, I enjoy it. And, like, maybe this was a game for in the Souls. No, it wasn't.
Because I think Forza takes a lot of aspects of, like, Ubisoft open world games, and, like, there's collectibles, there's stuff to explore.
Yeah.
And, like, Jeff would say, all that stuff's in Elden Ring, but, like, you still got to get by the bosses that, like, look at you funny and you die.
Right. It's like, I took a left turn and a bunch of death beavers killed me. I'm like,
well, I remember just, like, when you hop in, so you get through, anybody can get through the tutorial area in Elden Ring. It's pretty easy. But you get out of that tomb and you're in the open world, and there's that big guy on a horse right there. And, like, Jeff warned us, like, don't fight him. But, like, I bet a ton of people go, like, all right, this guy is, like, right outside the opening, like, the place where you wake up. I'm going to go fight him. He should be easy enough for me to beat. And he'll just stomp you. Just, like, you just got to avoid him until you're, like, 30 levels up. Like, how would you know that?
Right. Right. Jeff talking about how he spends, like, the first portion of the game just running away from everything. I'm like... That's okay. That's a way of playing a game.
He told me that again. We were talking about Liza P. So I finally beat the first boss in that. And I was just, you know, commenting on Twitter about how, like, you know, it kind of just cements, I don't like these games. They're great for a certain subset of people that like a certain type of game, but I don't get any enjoyment out of them. Like, people get that dopamine rush when they beat a boss, and I'm just like, cool, that took me way too long, and I know the next one isn't that far away, that's gonna take me way too long. And Jeff was like, man, you just gotta, like, run away from the enemies early on, and, like, beat bosses, get experience. Like, this is not the way people play games.
Right. And it's not
fundamentally counter.
It's just not fun. I don't want to spend my whole time running away. You give me a giant sword, I want to stab stuff with it.
Exactly. Like, you gave me weapons. I thought that that's what I'm supposed to do with them. But, oh no, we're going to have them break on you. Or we're going to make you basically be like a glass tank. And if you, like, get tapped, you might crack in half and all your health is gone. I'm glad that you know, he likes them. I'm glad that they're clearly, there's a market for them. They're super successful, but I don't think one will ever top our Game of the Year list.
No. Sorry, Jeff.
You were away most of this week, so you did not get to you did not get to the Lamplighter League or...
Oh, we do need to talk about Microsoft's other news from this week.
Okay.
Somehow they forgot or missed something and ended up paying more than $20 billion less in taxes than they should have paid.
Some tax guy is getting fired.
Yes. I saw somebody saying they must have used Microsoft products to do their taxes.
Just using Excel. They better
make some money out of this merger, because they have a shortfall to take care of now.
How does a major corporation miss $20 billion in taxes?
Seems impossible.
Yeah, I'm sure that you know, when it's all said and done, they will pay like
some portion 10%
of that.
Yeah, it won't even like.
And that'll be it. Like, that's wild that they did that. And they are spending almost $70 billion to buy Activision. So yeah, I'm sure they're gonna make that money back real quick. They own everything. Them and Disney. And I guess before we move on to games we were playing, that rumor is out there that Disney has been linked to possibly acquiring Electronic Arts.
Oh God.
Which I don't know if that's one. Disney is up there with like Amazon and Google and Microsoft and Comcast as like megacorps that own everything else.
Yes.
If EA gets gobbled up by them, basically gaming will be held by Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, and Disney at that point. Like, I guess we'd have Ubisoft out there floating.
There are a few random privately held third parties.
Oh, yeah, forgot Valve, about Sega. Yeah, Sega.
Valve would be out there.
Yeah. But like the big
ones.
Yeah, they would all be owned by megacorps. And Disney has done the games thing before. They didn't do it well, and they exited.
Oh, no.
They put out, and I actually liked the game, the one racing game they put out, Split Second. But they put out a bunch of games back in the Xbox 360 era. So, what, 10, 15 years ago at this point?
Yeah.
It didn't go well for them. They closed up shop, and that was when they were doing Disney Infinity, that type of stuff. And they just exited it out at the beginning of the Xbox One PS4 generation. It would be weird for them to hop back in, but I guess EA already has the infrastructure. It'd be weird also for Disney, who owns ABC and ESPN, to then own all the major sports except for baseball. Yeah.
Although some might argue that EA is not doing so hot.
No. They're
releasing games anyway. So
that's true.
Like if you were looking for like the expertise they didn't have in putting games together, maybe EA is not the spot to buy in at the moment.
It's even in their golden goose every year, FIFA, which is now EA Football Club. That got like middling reviews this year. Like,
yeah.
So EA Sports not in a good spot. But yeah, so that's it for news, at least from what I saw. One other thing, I guess, you bought Mirage, right?
Yes.
Yeah. It launched similar to Origins and Odyssey. So lots of players out there playing Mirage, which is good. I am glad that I wondered, would people be on board to jump into an old school style Assassin's Creed? I know Jeff liked those other styles. He thought they were cool, but this is not his. And I was wondering if there would be more people like him, but it does seem like people are into it, and they're out there buying it. So
I think the price point helps. Like it's not like they went for 50 as opposed to 70.
Yep, that's really nice.
Yeah, much more of an impulse buy. Although it is like gaming season, so they do have lots of competition. So it's kind of that. Well, I mean that probably helps though. Like okay, we're gonna have a lower price point. It is a popular brand.
Yep.
So.
And they were smart. It was supposed to come out. It was actually supposed to come out this week. And they moved it a week earlier, which gave it some distance between Super Mario Wonder and Spider-Man, which come out next week. Yeah. So smart on them. I'm glad it's doing well. I hear it's good.
And that nice sweet spot between those games and Starfield.
Yeah. Which has dominated the Xbox play time. Been number one for 6 weeks since it came out. So,
I mean, I'm still not done with it. It's kind of the game that keeps on giving.
It's, I think it's going to be a game we play a lot of. I am interested to see how it ends.
Yeah.
But that's also, I don't know if I want to finish everything up originally. I'm not sure I want to go and play it again in the multiverse. And I know there's some fun things about that. Like things change and, you know, characters disappear, new characters are introduced. But I think I might just try and play everything I want originally and then call it a day.
I've played through all of the major factions but one. I want to play one afterwards.
Okay.
So the Crimson Fleet I saved. I haven't done anything in that one. I haven't touched it at all.
Are they the pirates?
They're the pirates, yes.
Okay.
So like, because I've kind of gone, like, I've been good, and maybe in this next multiverse I will be evil.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
To do like a good run, a bad run, and then you wouldn't. There would also, since you already did the other faction stuff, like you wouldn't really feel compelled to have to do them again.
Right. Because some are more. Oh, I don't know though. All three of the factions I did play through were all pretty interesting. Like they were nice quest lines. I don't know. Maybe they are worth taking a look at. But then again, there's so many games out now. It's going to be hard to like finding the time to invest doing the same quest line over again.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be hard to find time for Starfield with some of the stuff that's coming out, even though it's there. It's on my Xbox. But
I'm pretty close to the end. Like, I think I have to finish it. I think I'm one or two large missions away. It's like you have to do these certain missions at the end. You need a ship that can go far enough. I have the ship, so I'm set there, so I can head through however many. It's probably like 2-3 hours or whatever, and then I should be done.
Is that like the stipulation? Like you need to buy X ship to get through, or is it just you have to?
There's a distance between the systems at the end to get to the one you need to get to is farther than any other systems in the game. So if you don't have a ship that can go to a certain, I forget what it is, but whatever the fuel rating is,
because the other ones, like sometimes you'd have to do like a stop, right? Like,
this is
a straight shot. So you need,
to be far enough because there's nowhere to like jump between.
Makes sense. Since you didn't play, you were away all week. You just played mobile stuff.
I did.
anything new on the Pokemon or Monster Hunter fronts?
Monster Hunter's doing their Halloween thing, so now you can find all like the Halloween themed Pokemon. So it's like ghost types and whatever all start appearing during October. I don't know. That game seems the same to me all the time. The funny thing is they announced their October stuff. It's all coming out, whatever. The Detective Pikachu game launched last week. And they're like, oh, and that's out too. And when they started talking about the October themed Pokemon, you never saw any of them because there were all these stupid Pokemon walking around wearing detective hats. It's like, oh, look, it's Pikachu and a detective hat and Slowpoke and like all the ones from like the Detective Pikachu movie are like wandering about in hats. I'm like, but I'm here for the ghost type Pokemon. I don't want those ones.
I don't want dumb Pokemon in hats.
Right. I have so many. Do you have any idea how many like themed Pikachus I have, like Santa hat Pikachu? Like I have a bunch of them already. I don't need more.
Are they doing something similar in Monster Hunter or
I haven't noticed any, like they've had some themed days where a certain type of monster would appear more frequently. The trouble is they're like story locked. So if you haven't played far enough in the storyline, you don't see the themed monster. So like, I think this past weekend the themed monster was like Pinkrathian. which is, you know, fairly far out there. Well, I'm not to Pink Rathian yet. So,
You can't partake in the
I can't
event.
partake. And there's been a couple weekends there like that. There was like Anjanath weekend, and I'm not to Anjanath yet. And it's annoying. It's annoying to be part of something and like there's these community things going on, but since you haven't like religiously played the game for hours and hours every day to get far enough, you can't participate.
Yeah, I could see how that would be. I can
Yeah.
also see how that would, like, one, it does reward your diehard players, but I could see where it would
Yeah.
also like annoy new players or like, well, I want to get the Pink Rathian and
Right, and the first thing that happens when you open the game is it advertises this Pink Rathian thing. You're like, yay, except you can't play. So, screw you.
Well, all right, well, enjoy your mobile stuff
Yeah,
there.
it's annoying though. I came back like I have all of these games. Can't wait to play when I get back, and then the conference is super long, and I end up working like a bunch of like 14, 15-hour days, and I come back, and now I'm too tired to play. It's like the
That
F
yes,
you of adulthood.
it's like I did all the adult stuff. I just want to do my thing, and like, I'm too tired to do my
Yeah,
thing.
and I get back, and I'm like, I'm watching Wheel of Time on Amazon instead of playing Starfield and finishing up because I can't move.
Yeah, sometimes being an adult sucks.
It does. It does.
Well, while you were being an adult, I was not flying
You were
around
not.
having to work on the weekend. So I played a bunch of Forza Motorsport over the weekend. Knowing what you like about racing games, which isn't much, this is not a game for you.
Oh, good.
It's a sim racer. Forza, like motor, like Forza Horizon, has a lot of like assists and stuff you can turn on, but at its core, it's track racing. There's no world to explore, so it's only racing. So there, like, I don't think it would be a game for you to jump into. I think if people do like those types of games, though, it has a lot of like neat stuff they've added, but it's also very much a Forza Motorsport game. You start off, they give you a car, and it kind of introduces the new mechanics of like the cars all level up, sort of like guns in Call of Duty do now, where before you would like do challenges and you would unlock stuff. Now the cars level up, and it doing that unlocks like new pieces for your car, new upgrade. So like maybe like a turbocharger at level 6 or
Oh,
a
that's
new
cool.
muffler at level 7. I mean, you don't have to add that stuff onto your car or not, but it's there. Like once you level up your car enough, it is there for you to
Do
use.
those pieces give you large advantages, or do they just
Yeah,
like
so like
adjust things?
so your car, let's say like I start off with a Subaru Impreza. They give you like a choice of three cars. And your Impreza is just it's like an Impreza that you can go into a Subaru dealership and buy. Just a stock Subaru. And so like then as you unlock these parts, as you level up, like you can get like a flywheel and it upgrades the speed that you shift. You can get a engine modification or a turbocharger, which adds more horsepower. You can get like an air intake valve, which also adds horsepower. Everything adds horsepower. It's very weird. Like a new muffler, and that adds horsepower. But like they all make your car better. And there are also classifications for the car. So, between 300 and 400, you're a Class D car. But once you go to 400, it then becomes a Class C car. And you keep moving like up as you improve your car.
And it changes the cars you can compete against and all that.
Yes. And it also says like sometimes if you've improved your car too much, it goes you need to take some of those parts off so you can compete in this event. Because it's a Class
Your
C
car is
event or
too
whatever.
good.
Yeah, basically. Which is that is something they've done in recent games. It wasn't something originally, in there. Like, that was always the weird thing in these games. Like, oh, it's a sim racer, but you can soup your car up to be like a 900 horsepower behemoth and then just race against the stock cars that are in the game.
Bye.
Yeah, you're just blowing off the line. Like, your car doesn't even control well because you've messed it up. You've added so much stuff to it, but you have so much horsepower that you're already to the first turn and they still haven't started their car yet. So they've changed that, where the cars generally, they have to compete quality wise against each other. So that's neat. Does keep the races a little bit closer. It has all the settings and everything that Forza Horizon has, where you want the driving line on, you need the rewind. Like, it's all there if you need it. Auto braking, if that's something that you desire. But you can also shut all that stuff off and just truly, like, go hard racing. I normally leave the driving line on, at least. Give me an idea of where I should brake.
Right.
So there's that. And like, they made a big deal of car. Like, we're going to give you a car. You're going to get, like, really attached to it. That was the big sell before the game came out. But then immediately after you finish driving your Impreza around in this first series of races, they're like, okay, now you have to buy a hatchback, because that's the only it's the only cup that's available, the only series of races that's available next.
The hatchback.
Or you can redo the one with the Impreza, but until you do this hatchback race, nothing else is going to unlock. And that's a little bit annoying, because it's like, I really just want to be able to, like, buy a Porsche or, a Mitsubishi Lancer and drive those, level them up, because they're the cars I like. Instead, they're like, here, you have to, drive this Hyundai Velero or whatever. I don't remember what the actual Hyundai is that I bought, but I don't really care to drive that. But I have to drive a hatchback, so I guess I'll buy one. So like that stuff, that has been constant. That's always been the progression of Forza in the last three or four games, where it's like, you have to race these specific type of races with a specific type of car in a specific type of class range. They haven't really changed that, and so it still just feels very much like a Forza game. They've just added in, the car leveling mechanic. The neat thing about that is everything you do in the car gives you experience. So they force you, I guess it's not force, you can skip practice, but they encourage you to do a practice run before a race.
And that gives you experience?
Yeah. Too. So like, that'll give you experience, and like, you'll get experience as you go around the track. Like, it's not just like at the end, like, you're going to get this, like, you see that bar filling up constantly. And that's great, because like, you're like, yeah, I want to keep riding in this car, because like, the bar keeps filling up.
I mean, that was a nice thing about Horizon too. Like, as long as the bar is filling up, you feel like you're doing something.
You always feel like you're accomplishing something. So,
I ran off the road and ran over a bunch of trees, but look, the bar is giving me stuff for colliding with things. Awesome, yeah.
It gives you a reason to do practice in this, though. Yeah. So it's like, which is something I never would have done before. And I must say, doing practice does improve your actual driving on the track, because you know what the track is. You know where there's going to be dips, or like, where if it's raining, this patch, this turn right here might be a little more slippery than normal. Doing practice there's a benefit to it, but before it was like, I don't want to do that, because like, there's no benefit to my progression to do it. It makes me a better driver, but I don't care, because like, I'm just going to do the race. That's where I'll earn the money that I can use to buy a better car. Now you're upgrading your car through all the experience, so you might want to actually do that. And then the other thing, there is, there's a multiplayer suite. They've introduced a full-on, like, penalty system. So in the past, like, you would maybe actually you'll still see it. You pop into a multiplayer race and you've reached turn one and everybody just slams into each other. It just becomes like a free-for-all there. The game penalizes you now for doing that and being an asshole, because that's not how you would actually drive a car. And brute forcing your way to the front is not, it's going to end up with you being penalized either with time, or if they, I don't know how they've set it up, but somebody rammed me and were actually disqualified from the race.
Oh, wow.
Like they were just like, you're out. Like you're, and there was no reason for that. I was in 14th place. Like I was not competing for the top. Like this guy was just angry because he spun out and I passed him. And so
So
on the
he
next
rammed you.
turn, he just rammed me, like T-boned me, threw me into a spin. And immediately it just like he has been booted from the race. He shows up with a DQ next to his name. Like it instead of being like, oh, only the assholes are playing this, and it actually is like encouraging people to drive better. And there's actually achievements for driving really well. If you can keep your safety rating up, you'll like it's over five races or whatever. There's an achievement, and then if you can do it for 10 consecutive races, there's an achievement. And that's probably where I'm going to end with the multiplayer, is just like trying to drive nicely until I can get the multiplayer ones and then back out, because I am not good enough to race multiplayer Forza. These people know how to tune their digital cars super well, and probably something Walt would be really good at, like in making a tuning that makes his car go super fast.
Don't boost his ego.
I will always only drive at the middle of the pack, though. Like, I don't care. I just want to. I like the act of video game driving. I don't necessarily, I'm not necessarily super good at it. And so that, yeah, that's Forza. That's out there. I don't think that's a you game, though. So.
No,
No.
probably not. Especially with all this other stuff out that is clearly a me game. Like, there's just too many other things.
I mean, it's a good dilemma to have, like to have all
Yeah.
these games and a bunch of different genres and bunch of different play styles that like we're not like 2 years ago we like,
We're like,
what's this indie
just
game
give
we
me
can
one
play?
game. I'll take one. And now it's like, oh, I have a new Total War game. I've skipped NBA 2K. I haven't touched that at all. I love that game. Now we're about to have Spider-Man and Lamplighters League, and there's a new Cities Skylines. I just too much
Man,
stuff. Too many games.
that's really soon. Skylines should be, it's like in the next week or
Either
so.
next week or the week after.
Yeah, we have tons of great games. I want to play Lamplighters League. That looks like a lot of fun. I haven't installed it. I haven't got to it yet.
Oh yeah, I have it installed too. I'm waiting.
I had a, I put out a question to us, but I will hold that. Because the Activision Blizzard Microsoft deal, even if it closes, like we're not going to see what Activision actually is going to do with Microsoft, probably for months. So I think we can hold that question and answer it better with Earl and Jeff here. We can end this early, call it a night. Next week. We will not have Spider-Man or Mario. They both come out on Friday.
No.
So we'll be waiting for them at the time.
But we'll have Assassin's Creed.
Assassin's Creed, maybe I will get to Lamplighters League at some point this week. Jeff, I believe, is going to play that Lords of the Fallen. He says he's like on the fence, but I know he likes to buy stuff, so
Well, there was some
he's gonna
weird
buy that
stuff
game.
that about the reviews, like the game doesn't seem to be technically great.
Yeah.
Like disappearing enemies and bad camera and like some quality
That
of life things that are not good.
sounds awful for that type of game too.
Yeah.
Already frustrated with this games. That sounds really bad. But we might have that because Jeff might play that. Earl will be back from moving all of Brooklyn. So we'll see what he has to say. And yeah, Tony, say goodnight.
Oh, I've never got to say goodnight before. This is like a first.
It is. I always throw it to Jeff. And then when he's not here, I let Earl do it.
Because I always start, right? So yeah. I never end. Good night.